You know, there's just days in your life as a CinemaSins writer when you get to write things like deflated mastodon testicle, and those days just stand out.
Welcome to Behind the Sins, presented by CinemaSins.
Welcome to Behind the Sins, a weekly look at everything going on inside the world of CinemaSins. I'm Aaron Dyster, and I'm joined, as always, by Jonathan Watkins.
Hello, hello.
And Danae Hughes.
I am not still prepping for the show.
We write for CinemaSins and TV Sins and do various other things inside the CinemaSins universe as well. Danae, always, means the exact opposite of what she says in her introduction statement. Yeah. So, still getting ready, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's all right.
Also, I skipped a video entirely. Guys, it's just been a crazy week, okay?
I hope it was Exorcism of Emily Rose.
Nope.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Did you skip Brother Bear?
Not yet. Danae, I still have a little bit of time.
Danae.
I have a little bit of time still.
That's like, that one is like right up your alley.
MVS. It's been a week.
It has been a week. Thank you for a little bit of grace for Danae. She's had a week for sure. Didn't you have aren't you like single mom in it right now? Like,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
I'm holding down the fort with a 4-year-old. And there are a lot of irons in the fire for CinemaSins right now.
Yeah.
Lots of things hopping, popping, moving, shifting, all that stuff. And I am the one with my fingers and all that, trying to kind of make sure it's all moving while writing and all that. So it's just been a lot. But if you guys just want to hang out, like, we'll just, you know what we're going to do is we're just going to have dead air. Let's see, how long is the video for Brother Bear on YouTube? And we'll
probably
just 17 minutes, guys.
Yeah.
So if you just want to fast forward or just hop forward 17, if you don't want to, you can just sit in silence with me while I prep for the show.
No,
it'll be great audio.
This is why you listen. It is why you listen. Well, whatever the case, prepared or unprepared, we are going to have a fun time today. So let's go ahead and get right into it. Let's kick it off with this inside scoop.
What's he building in there?
I've got a secret. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
This is a true story.
We're going to take a look at the videos from the week, the process of sending them, how we felt about the stuff we are sending in general. We kick it off with Commercial Sins Nationwide is on your baby's side. This is the baby commercial for Nationwide where the car is like your baby. So this was a Scott script. How do you guys feel about automobile insurance?
Oh man, I thought you were gonna go with massive babies.
No, I know how you feel about massive babies today. Yeah. I know exactly how you feel about massive babies.
I have it. That's all. I have insurance. That I pay for. I don't know. I don't think much of it. I guess it's just kind of one of those things you have to have, right?
No, legally. Yeah, I think legally you have to have car insurance.
Well, I mean, yeah, you do. I mean, you can definitely get fined or you know, and if you got in a wreck and didn't have any, that would be no bueno. So you know, it's just, you know, something else you got to pay for.
I mean, I don't really have a lot of feelings about car insurance.
Here's some feelings. I like that car insurance now has more technology that really allows you to have lower premiums if you're a good driver. Because like you can plug that thing into your car and drive with it for like a month. And then they'll take that data and go, oh, this person brakes well, accelerates
exactly
well.
Exactly the speed limit. Maybe you need to have a more exciting life.
I don't think it has to do with the speed limit. I think it has more to do with braking.
I was trying to jab you, Aaron.
Listen, jab away.
I was trying to jab.
Swing away, Meryl. Swing away. So for me, I really like that. I like that they do, like grade stuff for kids. Like if you have your kids on your insurance now, they'll take, you know, stuff off for better grades, good GPAs, like.
Oh yeah, that's an incentive. Like, hey, you'll help mommy and daddy with our car insurance if you can just get that A.
Well, I mean, it helps them with theirs, and then you know,
but they don't care about insurance, do they?
I mean,
if they have to pay for it.
Exactly. Once my kids own a vehicle, we make them pay for their own portion of the insurance. So
yeah, will not. I'm just gonna guess that's not gonna happen.
I don't know. It's interesting. Like deciding when to have your kids adult on stuff has been a really interesting thing these last few years. So yeah, like one of my children is getting married. So is that like, you know, financial independence moment? Do we talk about, you know, the cell service and the health insurance and like all that stuff? Or
stay tuned next week for a more exciting conversation about car insurance.
All right, let's move into the Sins video, shall we? I think this commercial is pretty funny, and I think the video itself is also very, very funny.
Mm-hmm. Me too. I mean, I like it more now after having had a kid. I think when I saw it, before I didn't have a child. I'm not sure when it came out. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But I was.
Oh, is this not a recent commercial?
I don't know, because I feel like I saw this before I had Iris, but I could be completely wrong about that. But yeah. I had more. I was more focused on the adorable baby upon this watch than I felt like I had ever been before. Usually, like, but when I see babies, I'm like, yeah, it's a baby. But now I look at him and I'm, oh, that's a really cute little baby. Oh, those little leg chunks. I remember when Iris had little leg chunks. You know,
oh,
like,
yeah,
it's,
you definitely
kind of
get that.
Yeah, you have something to immediately reference it to in your own life. Mm-hmm. So of course things change. That's true for all media. There are some things I literally just can't watch anymore because now I have a personal tie to a baby or a child. But this little baby was so cute. Like when the garage opens and the guy is like, it's my car, but it's actually this baby that's just like, hey, you know? Like that was really cute.
I agree. Yeah, I think it's cute. I think it's funny.
It's still fun to sin, but
I do want to push for putting chunk before the word legs, little chunky legs as opposed to leg chunks. Leg chunks took me to some dark places.
I knew what she meant.
It's like,
oh Lord. It's just my brain, we're just in for it today. I don't even know.
It's going to be great. It's going
to
be great.
I may just decide to take a nap mid-show.
Jonathan, we'll what see. Are some of your favorite sins from this one?
Well, I mean, there weren't that many. So the one I'll talk about is, it's not a bag of groceries if there isn't a French baguette sticking out of the bag, which that is something that I've noticed in everything. It's like, I don't even know that I've ever bought a French baguette. I maybe, but
you know, I think for garlic bread, we've bought them before.
Yeah,
they work well for making your own garlic bread.
But I've never had the bag with it sticking out on the top, and you know, I've never been able to experience that cliche.
Yeah,
it's like you can't believe that there's groceries in a bag unless there's bread peeking out.
I wonder when that started. Like somebody was, I guess some prop guy was like, we got to do this on like an I Love Lucy episode or something.
I think it probably comes from like, hey, what can we do so it doesn't just look like a brown paper bag? What do we put in there that makes it a little more appealing? Something has to stick out so we know it's groceries and not like a severed head, you know, or leg chunks or something, you know, like. That there's actually something grocery wise in the bag.
I
that's
hear
an
it
easy
now.
One.
Now that you've said leg chunks, I hear it now.
So it probably that was like the thing, like, oh, a long loaf of bread would stick out of the top. Let's do that. Or, you know, a head of lettuce or, you know, whatever might stick out of the top. So
yeah, because if a leg chunk was sticking out, it would be a little suspect.
That would be a little suspect. What else?
Also, I do want to say too, though, that I feel that if you're grocery shopping in places outside of what we're used to, you know, a brown paper bag holding a baguette is probably not that strange because you get your food fresh.
Right.
You get your ingredients more like in a market. Like daily, you go out and you get your food and you go back and cook it. That's really common in other parts of the world. But for us who pump everything with preservatives and have to survive off of microwaved meals, that is a strange bag of groceries.
Oh, Brent, you don't see brown bags as much anymore either, right?
No,
groceries that don't even have them.
No, realistically, you know? He should have two arms that are laden with plastic bags from forearm to wrist, digging into his flesh, holding them out, you know, like some sort of champion.
God.
That is
one of the worst feelings is that when it's just when you put one bag too many on your arm and it just starts digging in and you're trying to get to the door before like you feel like your hand's about to come off.
I guess I always use my fingers, not my arms.
Well, that's because your fingers are actually the length of someone's arm because you're so tall.
Yeah, Aaron actually means is I always make my wife carry the groceries.
That is
so
not,
I don't know what that is.
The truth of the matter is we haven't been to the grocery store in a long time. We've been doing delivery for a while now, so it's really just carrying them into the kitchen.
we do pickup, but we haven't been inside a grocery store that much. But we at least go, we go there and they bring it out to us. So yeah, we do still have to take the stuff in. But when they deliver, though, do they come inside?
They did at the beginning, and then when the pandemic started, they started leaving it at the step. But
the door?
Before the pre-pandemic, yes, they brought it into the table. Yeah. Yep.
And they cooked your food for you, and no. I don't know, that joke didn't work.
No, they didn't. Nobody cooked the food for us. What other sins did you want to talk about, Jonathan?
No, that was the only one I had down.
Danae, what about you?
I really liked the cart thing. I saw something on Twitter. Oh, I just remembered, it's a conversation about the cart theory. Let me see if I can look it up really quick. But I really enjoyed the cart one. Like, if you care that much about your car to not get hit by a cart, would you throw your groceries down on the ground? No, you would just hold your groceries and run up and stop it with your foot. So mm-hmm. it was a very dramatic way of shopping the cart. Or wait, not shopping the cart. That is not what I meant to say at all. Again, it's going to be a really interesting show for me. we'll just move on. The other one was when the garage door opens and the baby is sitting there. Again, I think that's one of the most adorable moments ever. But the sin is, given that this is a car and not a baby, that's a shitty parking job that he did last night. I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, I had that one. I thought that was hilarious as well. Mm-hmm. And then the only other one I had that hasn't been mentioned was the being this happy about washing anything. That made me laugh.
The shopping cart theory is what I saw posted on Twitter. There was a picture of a shopping cart kind of just out in the middle of nowhere, and then like an empty shopping cart bin where you could go and replace it, and a person standing in the middle. The question, it reads, "There is no dire emergency. Do you accept your duty to return the cart even though you gain nothing?"
Mm-hmm.
That's the question. Yeah. Are you a cart returner, Jonathan?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Aaron? Yeah, it doesn't matter where I'm parked. I either put it, sometimes they have the return thing outside, but if we're parked close enough to the store, I just take it back in.
I am absolutely a cart returner. I don't understand not returning your, like, I don't understand leaving it out.
I'm also a cart returner. Are you a cart returner of someone else's cart?
If it's right in the way, like if it's on my way and it's just sitting there, I'll just grab it.
Yep.
So then there's this post that was also linked to the picture that's called the shopping cart theory. The shopping cart is the ultimate litmus test for whether a person is capable of self-governing. To return the shopping cart is an easy, convenient task and one which we all recognize as the correct, appropriate thing to do. To return the shopping cart is objectively right. There is no situations other than dire emergencies in which a person is not able to return the cart. Simultaneously, it is not illegal to abandon your shopping cart. Therefore, the shopping cart presents itself as the apex example of whether a person will do what is right without being forced to do it.
Yeah.
No one will punish you for not returning the shopping cart. No one will fine you or kill you for returning the shopping cart. You gain nothing by returning the cart. You must return the cart out of the goodness of your own heart. You must return the shopping cart because it is the right thing to do, because it is correct. A person who is unable to do this is no better than the animal, an absolute savage who can only be made to do what is right by threatening them with a law and force that stands behind it. The shopping cart is what determines whether a person is good or bad member of society.
It really makes no sense, like what Aaron's saying, though. I mean, I don't know if this is the case everywhere, but every one of our, like, especially the big shopping centers, our parking lots. I mean, there's shopping cart return areas everywhere. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't even know where you could park to where there wouldn't be one that's convenient to you. And it is infuriating when you find a good parking space and then you realize it's because there's a shopping cart in the middle of it. You're just like, God damn it.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a big thing. I didn't realize how big of it. I just searched shopping cart theory and there's so much out here. There's a pyramid chart that I'm looking at called shopping cart theory. And it's got all the different levels, people who return shopping carts to the workers at the top, people who return shops to the cart corral in the middle, and then the bottom layer is people who leave carts on the curb and parking spaces off the property. And then each of them has like different explanations underneath it. The topmost being moral kings and queens, please return, please run our country, we need you. And then the middle is, thank you, you're a regular functioning member of our society, please remember to vote. And then the last one is, you are a morally deficit and should be ashamed of yourself. This is going to be something I just can't stop looking at for the rest of our show.
It's good. It's good. I think there are many opportunities like that in life where you will see different varying levels of the care we take for each other, even when it costs us nothing, up to cost us something, you know, like how that works, how we function together. It's good
stuff. There's nothing that feels better, but when you get the right push of the shopping cart to where it picks up its own momentum, hops over the corral guard, and then shoves into the rest of the carts and joins their brethren, and you can put your arms up and go, yeah! And if no one else does that, I highly recommend it.
It's my
favorite way of putting my carts away.
Nothing feels better than that. Nothing.
No, it's like bowling, but with shopping carts.
Let us move on to TV sins. We're going to kick it off with Falcon and the Winter Soldier's back! Woohoo! It is finally time
about... It's just been waiting.
It's just been waiting.
April 22nd. It's been waiting.
the episode is called Truth, and it is the fifth episode of Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Are we ready to venture back in to talking about this show, or have we left it behind us?
It was interesting rewatching this because I only saw the episodes when we were doing them, and I'm not gonna go back and watch them. I can't imagine. I mean, I enjoyed the series overall.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Barrett and I were talking about it the other day, and he was just talking about how it really didn't do anything for him. And I guess I kind of get that. Like, I don't know that it's, I don't know, it's just an entertaining show. That's really all mm-hmm. it is. And there's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely. 100%. I'm down for that. But like, it's just, I can't imagine it's something I'm just going to go back and watch at any point.
Right.
Or have much, even to like, you know, try to catch up on something before a movie that's related to it or anything. But I mean, you know, when I was watching the video, it was like, yeah, this was fun.
Yeah. I agree. By the way, this was a Hughes Watkins script today, and Jonathan writing on this one.
Sure.
All the way back. Sure. If you say so.
That's exactly how I remember it.
So I'm with you, Jonathan. I rewatching it was one of those things where it's like, yeah, I really did enjoy the show. I had a good time with it. You know, it's not something I'm itching to, you know, experience again. Although for me, that's pretty rare in pop culture where I'm something like, oh, I gotta watch that again, like immediately.
Well, that's true, especially with a TV show.
Yeah. So
I guess
yeah.
I'm not thinking about it. Maybe that's the better way to put it. Like, I don't really, like, it's not something I've thought back on very much.
Yeah. Danae, what are some of your thoughts thinking back on this? Like, do you think of it fondly? You didn't really like the show to begin with, so.
No. There are certain things that got better for me, and then certain things that stayed the same, and then certain things that got worse. It, to me, it didn't really, but we found out by the end of our conversation, just through learning about how this was put together as a production, you know, why perhaps it felt so disjointed and that it was missing something cohesive, that you could tell that they had to kind of go in and gut it out and then put it back together.
Yeah, I guess I like Sam and Bucky, though, and you know, you just don't get a ton of them in the movies just because they're secondary, if not tertiary characters a lot of the time. So I think that aspect of it I enjoyed. I liked Zemo, but and Handquake actually on the message boards, you know, I assume he's talking about the show. He said weird message with high production values. I agree, because I think the show was trying to say something, but I don't know that it ever really did, at least not in an I still don't even know what to think about the Wyatt Russell's character. Like, at least I don't know what the show is trying to say about that character.
100% agree with you on that. I think, and overall the main theme is delivered fairly clearly, you know, which is about what it means for a black man in America to identify himself as America, like the pain of that, trying to, you know, wrestle through that. This episode has some great moments with that. In fact, I think there's a moment we just take 10 sins away talking about it.
It's when Bucky apologizes to Sam after he kind of has a personal revelation as to the weight that Sam was bearing to take on the mantle of Captain America as a black man. Like, that's just not something that he could have understood, and then through the process he began to kind of see it firsthand, and so he's just like, dude, I was wrong. And that's a really important conversation to have whenever you're wrong, no matter what it's about. Sometimes you're really standing your ground on something, or you're kind of being an ass, or maybe you're not even meaning to, you're just like, because he kept saying as we sin over and over again, like, why did you put it down, why did you put it down? And now he's like, okay, I get it now, I'm sorry. And that's a really cool thing to see on TV. Well, and really any content, but especially when you've got these like guys who typically are presented as like macho, who would not want to talk about their feelings or their being wrong or things like that. Because a lot of times guys are presented where you just sort of brush over that stuff. And so I like seeing some emotional depth. I also really did enjoy that part of, like you said, Jonathan, to be able to see those characters more on screen and have more time to develop how they're doing now. You can't do that in the big movies. We get that. But here we get to see those things. I do enjoy that part a lot, actually. That's probably, it's probably my favorite part. And it's tied to being able to also get like extra little nuggets of content that when you go to the bigger pictures, the big movies, you get to have more context because you watch these types of, like with WandaVision, you know, going and watching the next movie, I'm going to have more stuff to pull from. I'm going to have different emotions about Wanda and Vision and all this stuff that I wouldn't have if I didn't watch these kinds of things. I do wonder if because they had to gut it and start over again, that this particular one suffers a bit of that emotional building, but you know, we'll see. I think, I mean, given what they had to do, I've said it before, I thought they did a good job understanding that they had to gut it all out, but it's just kind of like seeing your favorite car show up and you get in it and it was gutted and you can tell that it was sort of put back together kind of quick and the engine's a little clunky and maybe like the seats are a little bit loose. You're still like along for the ride and you like the way it looks, but you're a little bit nervous about its security. That's how the show felt to me.
I do also want to note that whoever decided to cast Julia Louis-Dreyfus in that role is a genius. And I look forward to seeing what they do with that character because she's great.
Which we should see soon, right? We should see that in about a month.
Oh, well, that's true, because that's another thing, right? She was actually, she's in Black Widow, I think,
right? Yeah, she was supposed to be introduced in Black Widow.
Oh, interesting, okay.
Yeah.
And then eventually, whatever they decide to do, if there's going to be like a Thunderbolts movie or TV show or just something with her, I don't know. She's, that was excellent. That's weird. Like, that would have been like, because she does come into the show like we should already know her.
I think they added added that foot thing that we seen. In the episode where it's like, who is it? Oh, it's her. Yeah. Like, I think they added that after the fact.
That makes sense. It felt like it was added after the fact, especially because chronologically in the show, is it this episode? I'm going to get lost, but it's been long enough. I don't think it matters, but you know, I think it's the next one where he suits up in his new suit, right?
Yeah. That's like the end of the series almost. Yeah.
Okay. It seems like it's out of order in a way. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, a little bit. You can tell they had to kind of sneak some stuff around.
Yeah.
Finagle.
Yeah.
Zhuzh. They had to zhuzh it a little bit.
Zhuzh it.
Let's talk about the sins. I will start since I didn't write on it. Having to remember this guy's name when all I can recall is his alias. Very well done. I like that. I liked these chairs are off limits, but this microwave and oven are okay, guys. That one made me laugh quite a bit.
I wrote that sin. I was just saying it was just it was just so silly.
Well, the reason I'm laughing is because the way that Aaron just said it makes me think that it was a reference to something else.
It is.
And I didn't know that.
It's
and
a reference to that actor being an alias.
Now
but
I get
we
it.
Also,
I didn't
we
get
also
it.
Did an alias sin the first time he was introduced. So basically, we're
double
redoing
sinning.
Our sin because they're reintroducing the character.
Yeah. Oh, see, this is why it's really good sometimes. Like, I was actually the lead on this one, I believe, because there's a couple of them where I said things like, I don't get this one. Explain it to me. And I'm really getting better at being like confused. It's fine. It's just my constant state. But then there's some that I'm like, oh, this is really funny. Like, this sin is about forgetting who this is because it's been a long time since they've been on. But it was actually a clever reference to something else. And I didn't even know it. Well done.
Did you wonder why alias was capitalized in the sins? Okay, fair enough.
I mean, I do now, but I didn't then. But it's funny about the tape one, the one that you mentioned. They had that security tape in the most random places. It's like the props
That's
department
why I loved it.
Is just like, wrap it around all these chairs.
just make it look like it was a caution tape, ticker tape parade.
The caution tape is like, yeah, guys, there's a massive pile of chairs over here. So we're just going to, no one touch it. It's potential evidence, you know, this pile of chairs. So it's just such a weird thing.
Also, why did the GRC decide not to watch these locations in case Carly and the crew showed up? I love that one. And that it ends with, well, guess we can go home for the day because obviously Carly is hiding somewhere and we could never find her. so great. Had to mention Haying Ayo. Really love that one. I will say some people in the comments want it pronounced Io. Mm-hmm. That is not how I've
We went back
heard
and
it.
Listened to
we
it.
We listened, yeah. So...
Mm-hmm. And you know, sometimes people say things differently, like one character right. will say it one way,
right.
but
right.
we heard Ayo and it worked out so well because mm-hmm. it's like, hey, yo, and mm-hmm. it's perfect. I'm glad that the Haying Ayo stayed in because I heard it in my imagination. The idea is that sometimes you don't hey people.
Right.
There are certain people you don't just go, hey. To.
Exactly.
And one of them is a warrior with a massive spear. Like,
well, there was even, and I hope this doesn't steal anybody's comment section, but there was even a series of replies to this sin where somebody said that it was their favorite sin, and somebody was like, one never, what's the Lord of the Rings meme with Boromir or whatever? One does not simply hey Ayo.
That was
one of the comments. And then somebody else was like, it almost seemed like they had a previous relationship the way he said it. Like, it was like, hey,
yeah, this is such a casual way of talking to somebody who could murder you and is clearly an authority figure. It kind of felt like it was also a good sin to sometimes, you know, like, oh, is it because she's a woman that you're just,
right, exactly.
It felt disrespectful.
Yeah. Yeah. I loved it. I love the fixing the boat sin.
That was a great one, Jonathan.
Where I think there are two parts to it. One of them, the first sin is the you don't hear me complaining, you know, except right now in the entirety of this video. And then the second one, men fixing stuff together, the only way to work out pointless grudges since 1817.
That was such a good sin.
Love that as well. And then the shield porn sin I thought was appropriate. Very much. Lots of shield porn. Jonathan, what about you?
You mentioned everything. The only one I have that you didn't mention was just us talking about referring to the scorpions as great German scholars. And then the way Aaron read the MTU knows how to tease me, but I'm not sure they know how to please me. I really appreciated that.
Thanks.
And I just love that we have a tease me, please me mm-hmm. Reference in a TV Sins video. I think I've made my mark.
Danae, what about you?
Well, you know, there's just days in your life as a CinemaSins writer when you get to write things like deflated mastodon testicle, and those days just stand out. So I wanted to mention that one. And I also wanted to mention the watering plants, which I'm going to talk about more in my comment section.
Oh,
that was a fun one to read from the peoples.
Nice. Let's move on to Invincible. We did the pilot of this new animated series. It's About Time was the name of the episode. This was a Dicer Watkins / mystery writer script. So the three of us worked on this. This show, I think we've talked about it a little bit in Beyond the Sins, but I would restate, started slow for me. Which is weird to say considering what happens in the pilot episode. But I think I just kind of had to open myself up to it. But I think this is a really good show. I think it's really, really good.
I think that makes sense though. I mean, I think the season really does a lot of world building. So mm-hmm. I think it does take a second to kind of get into it. But I think this show is kind of I mean, obviously it's popular. I mean, they renewed it for two more seasons.
Yeah.
But you never really know what's going on in a streaming show. But based just on the reaction to this video and just stuff I've been seeing, you know, gradually build up on social media, talk about it and stuff, it seems like people are really getting into the show, which I just, as someone who read the comic years ago or whenever it ended a few years ago, just the idea that this is now part of, you know, popular culture is just, I love it. I'm so glad people are discovering this world because I think it's kind of brilliant.
Danae, what do you think of the pilot?
Well, I remember that it was being discussed, you know, as we were handing out the assignments, and it was mentioned that it was really graphic. And so it was like, oh, interesting. And then I became the shadow on it. And in the time that we talked about it, and then I became the shadow on it, I totally forgot that particular detail. Uh-huh. So here I am watching what I assume is just a normal cartoon, which has got these interesting characters. And then it gets to the part where it goes to like the the title screen, like towards the end when there's just a few minutes left, I thought that what the copy that I was watching was, there's something was wrong with it. I was like, oh, this is going into the next episode. Cool, whatever. I stop watching it. I go through Taco Bell. I come back home. I sit down. I'm eating my tacos. And I start playing it again. And I was like, oh, no. Oh, this is part of it. Because I went to look at the script. And your guys' sins extended beyond.
It's a very confusing moment.
There's more. Yeah. There's more sins here. It's part of the weird show. Moment. So then I'm watching the most horrific thing I have ever seen in a cartoon while I'm trying to digest tacos. It was a very horrible experience, and fuck the show.
Okay, well, there you go.
Oh, because of the tacos?
I mean, it was weird. I've never had a moment where I'm like literally crunching and chewing while watching like gory murder.
Maybe even if it's cartoonish.
Yeah. It was still like, and you're hearing the sounds of them crunching and goring while you're also crunching and goring in your mouth. It's all happening at the same time.
It was a
really weird experience.
I don't know. I South Park is way more disturbing than this show ever gets. I don't that much either because it disturbs the hell out of me.
I guess it's just strange. Like,
I know what you're saying.
You know, like when you ride a ride. And it's one of those where they like spray you in the face with like mist, and then there's like a smell, and then like something pokes your leg, and it's very like in. It was like that, but while trying to enjoy tacos.
Oh no, I get the food correlation. Odd. I've had that happen before.
Yeah. It was odd. It was unexpected, and then I remembered. It was, but I think that the shock of it.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like that before.
It's a great twist.
Yeah, it was an interesting decision because the fun thing that as I've thought about it is fun thing. It's like I guess it's a psychologically interesting thing for me is that when I was watching it, I'm seeing all these new superhero characters I've never seen before, and I'm literally like, I don't really want to get to know more. So the fact that they're just like offed by the end of the show was a relief. I'm such a bad person.
I know what you're saying.
Okay, I think that's intentional.
You know, it was a really interesting thing to think about that we have so many superheroes. And so here's another, it's like, okay, it's a whole new set of superheroes. And I'm kind of struggling with whether or not I really want to pay attention to them. So it was a really...
And they're clearly knockoffs too. Like they're not just other superheroes, but they're clearly knockoffs of different, you know, superheroes that we already know.
I am a little upset that we don't get to figure out why that one had to take such a massive pill to turn into a superhero. There's too many hanging threads now. How did they get to be that way? Do we get to know
Lots of prequel opportunities.
I think in the comic book though, I don't think that happens. I think it's like the first six issues is when that big reveal at the end. So they build it up a little more, but it's still. So I was kind of surprised they did it in the first episode. I get why they did it, but
yeah, it's a hook.
That took me off. But I guess that's probably why it didn't shock me as much as it did a lot of people because I knew it was coming. I know what the deal with Omni-Man is. So,
you know, that's the other thing. The other thing too is even though we sin that it's a nod to him turning into something dark, it's still subtle enough that I didn't know as someone I didn't realize it was going to go that way. And so that would be an interesting thing to see is, you know, maybe the reason why he's dark or whatever, but he's just enough of an asshole that he's maybe just kind of an asshole. Some people are just assholes, you know. I didn't realize he was a murderous asshole. Now we know.
What's cool though is that you also have this great dynamic where you have Mark becoming a superhero and then his arch enemy eventually becomes his dad.
Oh.
And so that's a really fascinating thing that gets explored.
I where the show goes next is I think 10 times as good as the pilot. I think because there's more violence, especially like as you get to the finale.
Yeah.
And I'll try not to spoil like more of this show than just the first episode. But as you get to the finale, that violence feels so much more earned to me and has so much more impact.
Yes.
I just think it's where this show goes and the way it treats Omni-Man is brilliant. I love the Omni-Man development through the entire first season. I think it's really, really smart. Very smart.
And if they stick to the comic, it keeps getting more interesting. But it's also quite funny at times. Like, it does this really interesting thing. I always use Scream as my example, but it does this really interesting thing where it does definitely poke fun at a lot of the tropes. And mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a straight up parody, but there's definitely some comic elements to it. But then at the same time, it becomes exactly what it's kind of making fun of. And it's actually a really good version of what it's making fun of. So that's a really hard, that's a really hard thing to do. Yeah. So when it's a tough balance. Done, yeah, or like Edgar Wright, I mean, he does that all the time, like Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz and stuff like that. So yeah, it's kind of similar to something like that with the balancing act.
Yeah.
Which I always love when it's done well, obviously.
Yeah, I think that the other thing that just right before we go on to the actual sins, oftentimes on shows like this, you look for who you relate to and why you want to stick around, because you're looking for something that's like drawing you into the story. And the interesting thing about killing off all of those other people for me is that I was interested in some of them a little bit more than I'm interested in the main characters now. So it revealed who the main characters are by the end. It's like, oh, this is about the dad and the kid. They are the only survivors, so clearly that's going to be the focus.
Yeah.
Was there something inside of this beside the intrigue of why did he, what was his motivation for being a murderer, or what's the fallout? Is that the motivation for me to watch, to continue to watch? I don't actually think that personally I'm like interested enough to go in there and figure it out. So
it would be, fair.
There's that too. You know, you do risk.
I think Steven Yeun is great. I think that's the actor that voices Mark.
One of the several Walking Dead actors that are
it's
on
true.
The show.
That's true.
Yeah, that was an interesting find. Did you know that
same,
going in?
It's the just same, out of curiosity. It's the
I
same guy.
The cast.
Robert Kirkman did both of them.
He did. He created the comics and is producing the show. So, I mean, that does make sense, but yeah.
So I think he does great, but I can absolutely see what you're saying about where you put your investment. Did they not do any of the high school stuff in the first episode?
Well,
we don't meet any of those characters.
There's,
okay, because
you know,
I like those side characters as well.
He stands up for the one that was kind of getting bullied at one point in time, mm-hmm. kind of early on. So, but you know,
yeah.
High school drama is not one
yeah,
that gets
that's
my
not
attention.
To you.
So
totally,
mm-hmm. yeah. And there are through the high school and stuff, there are other heroes introduced and whatnot that are I think you would find more interesting than the
yes.
yeah.
than the
that's
ones
why I
that
mentioned
get
it.
Killed
I didn't
off.
Remember yeah, how yeah. much it went into it there, but yeah.
No. You don't find out all that, but yeah. It just kind of you meet a couple people and that's it.
Gotcha.
Cool. Danae, you get to kick us off since Jonathan and I wrote on this with the mystery writer.
Okay. Well, let me just remove that note about tacos. My second note about tacos. My third note about tacos.
No, I want tacos. I'm going to have to go to Taco Bell later.
I really loved us bringing back the hot chocolate lady from Mighty Ducks on this one.
Yeah.
We talked about playing about it with that particular thing as a skip concept on BTS. And then to see us actually kind of attempt it in a show, I thought that was really clever.
Do you feel like it works? Do you feel like it works?
I don't know if it's because we've had conversation and I understand the context and I understand the material it comes from. I love it.
I do too. I think it really works.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like
and
our
it could
own
become
personal
like a little
meme.
Yeah. It's like our own little meme.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if the rest of the world gets it, but they don't have to either. Like,
right. That's, if someone that's what's beautiful about memes, mm-hmm. you know?
You don't have to know where it comes from. And if you really love it, then somebody will ask and it'll be found out. So that was kind of cool. I liked the calling bullshit on the guy already having a perfectly tailored suit for Mark.
Mm-hmm,
I love that kind of stuff. The Darkwing one, where he may be the hero the city deserves, but he's not the mallard we want right now.
mm-hmm.
I just think the word mallard is funny. I'm a simple person.
yeah.
Darkwing Duck.
Yeah. Sorry. And I really enjoyed the fight sequence though, as far as like, you know, the behind the scenes of writing. Those kinds of sins where it really breaks down a fight scene and you've got this longer sequence explaining the teamwork that makes the DreamWorks segment of the Guardians of the Globe handling the steroid enhanced Blumen group. Mm-hmm. You know, that it looks really good at first, but when you start to break it down, how it doesn't make sense why they're all quote unquote working together to basically undo each other's damage in a weird way.
So dumb. And yet somehow it ends the fight.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course we know it's because they want us to see the powers that everyone has, and they want to do it in a very succinct way. It doesn't have to make sense because that's just how stuff is sometimes. But I really liked the way that the writing worked with the visuals, and the editors did a great job of kind of matching all of that up. The instructions to the editors was match the actions with the narration. It wasn't like a complicated one where we're going, okay, cut back to 5 minutes and 42 seconds and point the arrow to the green shrubbery on the far right of the screen. You know, like it wasn't like that. But it was still a really good scene. And that was one of my favorites from the episode. Well done.
Jonathan, what about you?
This is supposed to be condescending, but hot cocoa is delicious and Steve doesn't make him follow through with this promise.
It's such a great sin. And also the fact that somehow it follows the hot cocoa lady is really interesting to me. Just weird how that happened.
I'm excited to see what the next 10 minutes hold so I can finish this thing off with all the good feelings completely intact. No man has ever run away this fast after being kicked in the balls, which we actually, I did not put this in my comments, but we did have a commenter talk about how they have experienced something similar, and we do not understand adrenaline. And yeah, we do. And no, I would not... I might have to watch Spiral after this for a palate cleanser.
Yeah, I had that one down too. So good. Let's see what else. William thinks the superhero with a high success rate isn't cool. I don't even watch baseball, but if every time the Yankees won a game and prevented a catastrophic loss of life, I'd probably root for them as well. Very well done. I think that was a mystery writer sin. Very well done. Had to mention expositional fathering, exposition. I enjoyed. This mountain looks remarkably similar to the one Invincible threw the baseball through. A little too similar. I just love the idea that because the mountains are exactly the same mountain because they reuse the animation, that it means something deep and nefarious. I thought that was a really smart observation as well. So there you go. That's Invincible. It's about time. Let's move on to music video sins. BTS again. Let's talk about Butter. Or butter.
I love butter so much.
But do you eat it?
What do you mean?
Like, do you just like take a fork and a pat of butter and just like chow
down? I put it on bread. I understand that,
but this person eats it by the spoonful, and I'm just not sure how I feel about that. I am sure how I feel about that. I hate it. It makes my stomach cringe very, very much.
I have a story to share with you. It'll be very brief. First, no, I don't just eat butter, but I have been to a friend's house while they were cooking one time, and she cooked exclusively with cast iron skillets, and she made amazing meals with her cast iron skillets, lots of flavor and such. Mm-hmm. And she used a ton of butter all the time.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't? And there was this one particular day she was making something and she puts in like this massive stick of butter, half of a stick. It was a lot of butter. And it was the real raw butter from like she would go to the farmer's market. So it was like local farmer butter and everything. And her girls, which were probably teenagers at the time, they would stand by. And the first time I saw it, I was like this. I was just wide-eyed wondering what the hell they were doing. But I guess they wait until... So there's so much butter kind of in the cast iron that some of the substance rises to the top eventually and sort of creates this lighter color. I don't remember what they called it, but they would take a spoon and scrape it off of the top and then just eat it straight out. They would like fall over themselves with enjoyment of this flavor, whatever it was. They asked me if I wanted to partake. I passed.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was interesting to watch them.
I use a ton of butter myself, by the way.
You what?
I use a ton of butter when I make stuff. Like okay. The thing that requires butter, I put extra in.
I thought you said on myself.
I did too.
No.
I did too.
No. Okay. No.
Jonathan, we don't need to go there. But
it's a choice.
Okay. Hey. Okay. You know, no shame. No
it's
shame.
Fine. Yeah.
No. You know. No. Just if it calls for like, you know, four tablespoons, I might use six, you know, that kind of.
So. Yes.
My macaroni and cheese is good. My daughter will tell you that.
I believe butter does have that impact for sure.
Oh my gosh.
Definitely. This song is fine, whatever. It's BTS. I don't know that we need to talk about it too much, unless you have opinions. Either of you have opinions on this song?
I think Barrett wrote some stuff. They're fine. This was not one of their better songs, I don't think, but I seem to be in the minority there. So
yeah. What did Barrett have to say?
Butter is a dope ass song. It's impressive as hell to me how completely multilingual these guys are, and the choreography in this video is on point. They're not really lyrically groundbreaking in the song, but I think their English language stuff tends to be more laid back and fun. I do not get the visual aesthetic of this video, though. They're in prison. They're on the basketball court. They're in an elevator. It's like they had a warehouse in Burbank to film in, and that was the best they could do.
That's probably right.
My favorite part was slipping Harry Styles in there on One Sin. And anyway, mm-hmm. The song is dope. Butter is delicious. I like the dude at the end of the video. I sometimes just grab a stick of it to snack on. I don't believe him.
I don't know. I have two choices. I can either not believe him, or mm-hmm. Barrett and I can't be friends anymore. Like those are my two choices. So I'm gonna go with I don't believe.
I don't think he's telling the truth. As someone who's been around him many, many times, you know, around food, I think he's being silly, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
Since he mentioned it, and it was one of the few that I had, I will mention that Harry Styles sin at the start of mine really just caught me off guard, and I laughed quite a bit at that one.
It was great.
The lyrics
there's
in
so
this.
There's so many of them, though. There's just so many of them.
There are so many of them. The lyrics in this. My favorite sins were, other than that one, were about the lyrics in this and how much nonsense they are. One of the lyrics in this is, "Ooh, when I look in the mirror, I'll melt your heart in two." And to rightly point out that he's looking at himself and melting your... Like, that is such a weird lyric. Yeah. I'm having trouble processing it. And then the other one was, "Ice on my wrist, I'm the nice guy." Cool, but what does one thing have to do with the other? Like, there's just so many of those moments where it's like, oh, you're using your English words and you're using them well, but they don't like really go together. So
I am curious, like, how much where the translation is, and like, I always am curious with these bands, like, are they recording two different versions of this song? Which I don't think BTS would be at this point, because I think they're so widespread worldwide. But stuff like that does, I am curious about that. It's kind of like when you see what movies get titled, like when they go overseas, you know?
Right.
I sometimes wonder if that's going on with the lyrics.
Yeah, there's a little bit of translation stuff. That would make sense to me. What about you guys? Jonathan?
I had the Harry Styles one. That had me dying. But the other one I had was, I have a feeling these guys have never crimed before. And that kind of goes to what Barrett was saying just about. Yeah. Just about the aesthetics of the video. It was like somebody I want to be in jail, but I don't know what that means, so we'll just do this weird stuff. And
yeah, definitely. I guess we probably took all yours, huh, Danae?
Yeah. Yep. 100%. That's exactly. How'd you know that you did that?
I just assumed.
Did you see my notes?
I just assumed.
It's really fun. I did not write on this one, but it's always, I don't know, BTS is, they always provide a lot of good sinage and entertainment. So
yeah.
I always enjoy when we do one of these.
Let's move on to CinemaSins, The Exorcism of Emily Rose. This was an Atkinson Watkins script. Chris and Jonathan writing on this one.
I like your woo. It's like, yeah, woo, court case. Woo.
Well, I'll start since you mention it.
That was interesting.
I think that's why I like this movie so much, is because it's almost a courtroom drama as much as it is a horror film. And like, that really worked for me as somebody who's, you know, not necessarily a horror film fan, although there's certainly movies that fall into that genre that I really love. I really enjoyed this movie.
I like crossing genres too, or crossing subgenres. Yeah, like,
sure.
I love horror movies. I love courtroom thrillers. So, but I like this movie overall. I think there's good things in it. I don't think I like it as much as you, though. I think some of the courtroom stuff is pretty silly. And we send some of what I thought was silly. Although this, I mean, and this happened, right? I mean, this is still very theatrical and...
Right, yeah.
I'm not saying whether or not someone was possessed, I'm saying someone was arrested, there was a case, like there was,
right.
You know, somebody was brought to trial for being responsible for somebody's death, and they used exorcism
as part of their defense.
Yeah. So yeah. I don't know all the specifics. I didn't look into it, but I'm assuming this is just from what I read, it's loosely based or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Some of it just seemed it got a little silly there towards the end. But
yeah, rewatching it, I felt that too. I definitely felt that too.
Really good performances though. Scott Derrickson's a very good director. Sinister is probably one of my favorite horror movies of the 2000s. And he did Doctor Strange, of course, mm-hmm. And a few other things. But there's good stuff. I don't know. It doesn't quite. I can't get past just I like it. You know, like I feel like I kind of want to because there is a lot going on there that it's interesting to me, but it just, I don't know, it kind of loses me there towards the end. So
I get that, and it has been a while since I've seen it. And rewatching it, I do wonder with my 2021 eyes if I would kind of land in the same boat and not like it quite as much as I remember liking it when it came out.
It's very entertaining. It's very entertaining.
Yeah.
So
Danae, I'm assuming you have not seen it.
No, I mean, I saw the Sins video and was like, okay. Okay, cool, all right. So I didn't expect that, but that's what it was.
It's so weird to have like a horror movie be so like trying to be set in an authentic real world like it is. You know what I mean? Like it's, you know, to deal with exorcism. I guess The Exorcist is kind of the same way. The Exorcist is not, you know.
That's actually a good point. The Exorcist is a great... Because I do think that's another problem is that I think The Exorcist... There's not very many movies like this, but like maybe Jaws is a good example. I'm not going to get into Jaws, Danae. Don't worry. But I'm just saying that The Exorcist is a movie where anything that comes after it just feels like it's in its... Like hanging on its coattails, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Sure.
Is that it's like the ultimate exorcism movie, right?
Sure.
It's like it's the movie. Now, some people, I mean, obviously, there's people that don't like The Exorcist. I'm sure. I personally think it's a great film, but but I think that's also another thing. It's just it seems like every movie after that takes things from it, whether intentionally or not. So, you're right. I mean, The Exorcist is. Yeah, I know what you're saying. Like it tries to kind of put it in more of a real world scenario. Yeah.
I don't mind it. I mean, if I'm gonna watch something about demon possession and, you know, something that's kind of got that thrilling, scary vibe to it, to kind of juxtapose, is that the right word, with a courtroom drama.
Yeah.
It seems like it could be a little bit of a whiplash feel to me because there's such different environments that you're kind of going back. But maybe it's a palate cleanser because it's an intense experience. And it is interesting to try to bring it more into like the real world sort of a scenario. But I don't know anything about the franchise in general and how different this would be. But it wasn't what I was expecting. I was not expecting what I saw. It wasn't. It's not something that I would watch outside of us reviewing it for the show.
Right. Yeah. Danae, why don't you kick us off with some of the sins that you found enjoyable?
I really liked the, you know, demonic possession is afoot because there are swarming insects nearby cliche. And I had one is that a normal thing for demonic possession movies? I'm assuming. Is this an actual cliche?
In movies, for sure.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Since I don't watch them.
I'm sorry. I have some reason.
Swarming insects.
Oh,
swarming insects.
Well, there's this whole idea that like, there's something about that. There's maybe demonic something going on or nearby.
Because the insects are swarming. Interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I really liked that the instructions to the editors on like what to focus on, it just said bees. So it's like
the bees.
There's just bees here. The one that was all right, now it's time for some serious exorcism
great.
He's just pulling off of his glasses, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was another one that I looked at. Why did God allow Emily to become possessed by demons and then die? And then I can let Emily answer that. And then the sin is, apparently God wanted this to happen so that when I die, people would just believe I was possessed and almost no evidence. Seems like the kind of plan an all-knowing creator would come up with. I have no doubt this would change the world. I love the sarcasm there. Good. It was interesting to watch. Good sins.
I know this movie is inspired by a true story, and then going into what Scott Derrickson's pitch must have been, ending with the producers like, well, $19 million work for the budget. so great. So well done. Fun. Looks like they should have called this movie The Dexter-cism of That's Emily great. Rose. Am I right? Of course, you're going to get me with that. The constant sins to dancing were just wonderful, starting
that was
with
Chris.
Yep, this is what happens after Christians commit the sin of dancing. All right,
so funny.
I loved that one.
If being triggered by people eating loudly and making nails on chalkboard noises with their silverware is a sign of demonic possession, then I must have all the demons in me. So good. Thinking you look better than a drawing of you is a compliment made me laugh. The series of sins about the demonic possession ending with fourth, are there demons stationed in every time zone? about the witching hour?
Yeah.
Really enjoy it. Really
they
enjoy
are.
It.
They're stationed in every time zone.
Of course.
That's how it
just
works.
For 3 a.m. Jonathan, what about you? What did we miss?
I love Chris did this whole thing with I can't remember the actress's name, but the woman they bring in to kind of like justify the idea that demonic possession and science go together. And he's just like, you know, the whole thing about, can you imagine having to say this without laughing or whatever? And then it ends on, you know, talking about how, where did I have that? At the end, it's like when she's asked if she used that drug, that Gambutrol drug. It's like experiments that would hurt the patient, you cock. I know I don't have any questions.
Yeah.
Like everything she said. This guy looks a little disappointed, but in 5 seconds, his spirits will be lifted when he realizes he doesn't have to promote a woman. I thought was perfect for the facial expression of that dude. And then going off the dance, another one of the dancing thing, doctor loses points by not mentioning dancing as a probable cause. I thought was very funny. And I had a lot of the ones you guys mentioned, but I love the way Jeremy, I was so happy with, I wrote it out and I was hoping Jeremy would nail it. And of course he did, but there's a lot of just like weird objects that have like the score comes in and there's that one where the pencils and pens get knocked over and he's like, not the pencils and pens, the horror. Oh, the horror. Because it's just kind of silly, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun on this one.
Definitely. Definitely. We also had a lot of fun on Brother Bear. This was a Dicer Scott script. Myself and Jeremy writing on this one. Did Jeremy have anything to say about this?
Yes. Yes, he did.
Let's hear it.
Right after this commercial break. Which is just code for Danae trying to find the right tab. Jeremy said, Brother Bear is what happens when you let a bear write a movie. Sorry, I didn't read this before I started. Like, I didn't pre-read this.
Sure, sure.
Crap, okay. Of course, the bears are the good guys. Of course, the main character will ultimately decide to stay a bear. Of course, the salmon look like high contrast demon clownfish. This is an incredibly stupid movie. Like, you may have a stupid person in your life. Odds are that person is a toddler. But that stupid toddler is miles smarter than this movie. Go give that toddler a hug and know that he or she is going to get smarter every day. And they're already smarter than Brother Bear. God, this is amazing. There's a lot of lazy stuff tossed in here that makes it feel like it's a movie, like the wise magical grandma whose powers are never explained, or the tiny talkative sidekick everyone wishes the main character would literally kick. The comic relief moose. I didn't watch this, and so this is just really great. The comic relief moose are maybe the most lazily offensive thing in this movie. Nothing they do or say is even remotely funny. Ostensibly, this is a movie about walking a mile in another bear's shoes. but it is so loose it doesn't ultimately stick any landings or cause any emotional response in the viewer. Here is a list of things.
This is just a sign that Danae either should or should never pre-read these. One of the
I'm
two.
So sorry. This is just fucking hilarious.
Well, and especially if you haven't seen the video, I'm sure it's just like, what is going on? Why didn't
I'm so
I watch
sorry.
This?
Here is a list of things you would be better off doing with 90 minutes other than watching Brother Bear. One, literally anything else. That was the end of the list.
Very nice. I don't disagree. I remember watching this the first time and just being like, oh, kids movie, Disney, okay, fine, that was whatever. Watching this with a sin lens on, where you're like, you know, focusing on how well it's doing stuff and how everything is going, this movie is terribly constructed. Just absolutely lazy, terrible stuff in this movie. And I came out of it exactly the same way as Jeremy, just going, you know, if it is, of course, there are exceptions to every rule. But if you love this movie, I can almost guarantee you it's because you saw it when you were like 4 years old, 5 years old, and have nostalgia for it. Because it has nothing in it that makes any kind of emotional or narrative sense. So yeah, I come out completely the same.
It has a pretty strong fan base.
All Disney movies do, you know.
Yeah,
that,
they do. Oh, they absolutely do. I'm sure, like Home on the Range does too. Mm-hmm. I've never seen it. It came out like early aughts. I was like in my mid 20s, so it just it wasn't one that looked interesting to me, and I don't feel like I missed anything.
You made
based
a good choice.
Watching
you made a wise
the video.
Choice.
Yeah. But if I had been a kid, maybe. And it's not one that, like, as far as I know, I don't think my daughter's seen it. It's not one that I've shown her. So, I mean, I don't know. But it's not something that's been brought up. And I can't imagine after watching this video I will ever watch it. So.
Only for maybe a laugh at how terrible it is. But that's not a great way to spend 90 minutes either. So, So yeah, I think this movie deserved the sinning that it got. Jonathan, why don't you you kick us off? What are some of your favorite sins?
It was a great video. You know, I'm afraid I'm going to steal all the stuff Danae wrote down.
You might.
But,
you might.
Well, why don't I go first then? Okay. No. You guys go. You guys.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right.
Aurora Boar's position was very good. Danae and I were talking about that one earlier, so I apologize.
Yeah, you knew that one was on my list. Jerk.
Being this excited about canoeing, I 100% appreciated, because there are very few things in life I hate more than canoeing. So
we got called out in the comments for calling it canoeing when it's kayaking, apparently.
No, those are two different things. No. I love kayaking. Those are two very, very different
things. I'm just saying, people said they were doing kayaking in the movie, not canoeing. So
you know what? Maybe they were. Maybe they were kayaking in the movie. I wasn't paying that close of attention. I thought you were saying people were saying they were the same thing.
No. They were saying that we mislabeled
kayaking and canoeing. One is fun. One is canoeing.
And that's right. That's right.
You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. I'm always going to love that. The Jigpaw Killer.
Thank you.
That was a great, yes. Also, isn't it hilarious that bunnies fuck a lot cliche? I had a lot written down. I'm sorry.
No, it's great. It's great.
Well, that's because I sent you my list.
I know. That's right. I'm actually reading Danae's list because I was too lazy to come
up
with my own.
Just keep going. You're doing great. You're doing great.
Brothers don't shake hands. Brothers got to fight to the death. And then my favorite, or not my favorite necessarily, but one of my favorites was, he's going to fuck so many bears now. Which was perfect with that like look on his face like there at the end.
Yep. It might surprise some to know that I wrote that one. But yeah, it was just one of those things where it was like, you know, he seems so happy about turning back into a bear. And I was just like, what is he so happy about?
He stays a bear?
Yes, he stays a bear. God. This is the whole stupidity of this movie.
Oh my God.
The whole time, it's like, you know, going through the stuff between the brothers, and they get to the end, and the older spirit brother turns, that has been killed by a bear, turns the younger brother back into a human. And then he's basically just like, I kind of liked being a bear. And his other brother's like, yeah, yeah, you should be a bear for the rest of your life. It's like, what is going on in this dumb movie?
So that'd be like at the end of Brave, if the mom just stayed a bear.
Yeah.
Yes. Where she was like, that was kind of fun being a bear. And the daughter's like, yeah, mom, just be a bear. Like, ridiculous. This is one of my favorite videos that I've written on in a long time. I really, really enjoyed this. I liked pointing out this thing that movies do where when somebody martyrs themselves, they just sit there and take it and they just get this look on their face like, yeah, I'm going to martyr myself right now. And it's like, you can still like do the thing you're doing. Like in this case, you know, the spear and the ice, and then try to survive. You could jump up and maybe try to run for safety or, you know, but no, you got to be a martyr. So I liked pointing that out. I loved this scene or this sin. This water is dirty enough to be diseased. Enjoy your disease, selfish brothers, one of whom will soon become a bear. I thought that was really funny. I got to bring back one of my favorite word plays I've ever written. It was in like my second or third sin. I can't remember what the movie is, but I got to call a bear an ursehole, it's just one of my favorite word plays. And so I got to do it again here as well, with the Latin for bear being ursa. Enjoy that. Let's see. Another point about this movie. This movie has so much opportunity, and this is a scene where it talks about his hunting skills. It like briefly, you know, mentions his tracking skills. This movie had such an opportunity for these brothers to like, for like the whole point to be how he turned his hunting skills against him. And like, you know, it was like all these things we thought we were doing, you know, are actually harmful. And it never goes any of those places. I also think maybe my favorite Twitter joke we've ever done is in this one, because it kind of works on a bunch of different levels, but where he's like yelling, shut up. And then the mountains echo back, shut up. And he goes, no, you shut up. And then the mountain echoes back, no, you shut up. And then Twitter, I just thought was just such a perfect encapsulation of what happens there, that echo chamber. The Phil Collins sin where I know some people say show don't tell, but I guess no one ever said show don't have the former drummer of Genesis sing explain. loved that as well. And then the singing and you'll be in my heart. And then wait, is that not this movie? How is that not this movie? is an actual experience I had while watching the movie. I was like, when are we getting to the You'll Be In My Heart song? It's like the best song in the movie.
Which one is that? Is that from Tarzan?
Tarzan.
Yeah, that's Tarzan.
It's Tarzan. Yeah.
Something really sweet. When Iris was little, I think she was like still less than one. I took her over to my friend's house who had, I think, a four-year-old at the time. And he loved Tarzan. And he held Iris and sang that song to her. It was so sweet.
Oh, that's nice. My favorite story about Tarzan, about the music in Tarzan, was Trey Parker or Matt Stone. I think it was Trey Parker, because that was the year of South Park Bigger, Longer, and Uncut. And Blame Canada got nominated for Best Song.
Oh, my God.
At the Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
And it lost to Phil Collins won, probably for that. I don't even remember now.
Mm-hmm.
But I just remember Trey Parker being like, God damn it, I got to tell my kids that I lost to Phil Collins. He's like, I could have lost to Amy Mann, like, because she did the Magnolia music. Uh-huh. He's like, that would have been cool, but now I got to tell my kids I lost to Phil Collins.
Phil Collins is great.
It's a nice song, though. You know, Phil Collins is awesome, but I get
something
it.
About that man's voice that I love.
Yeah, me too.
It's very distinct, and I really dig his voice. For those in the live chat who were saying, you know, where were the bear puns? There were a few. Embarrassing.
There were barely any.
There, embarrassing was in there. Jigpaw. They were in there.
Dine.
Yeah, no, you did it.
Yeah, the Jigpaw killer. That was a bear one.
Yeah.
I did it on purpose.
Good job. Good job. Let's move on to keeping tabs.
Hey, podcast peeps. It's me again. Those are my dogs. Those are my every time I talk, wow. Is this how Aaron feels when we're okay, we're gonna try this. I just wanted to tell you about the survey again, which is at cinemasense.com/BTS. So go fill it out.
The internet is a communications tool used the world over where people can come together to bitch about movies and share pornography with one another.
Ha ha! Oh, jeez.
This is the most public yet of my many humiliations.
What's some of the stuff from putting together the content for the week, guys?
I didn't have a lot. Most
Me
of the
either,
stuff
really.
That, like looking things up for Falcon Winter Soldier, I don't really will remember. It's been a minute, but I didn't really look up a lot. But I will reference once again the shopping cart thing because I did look that up during the show today, and I think that definitely counts.
Definitely counts.
Didn't you do research on police tape and why you would put it around a chair?
Yeah, extensive research. I did do a little bit of research on plant watering, but I'm just going to read some comments when we get to comment section, and we'll just call it my research because it's just it's everywhere.
Right on.
It's all of the wares.
All right. What about you, Jonathan?
I didn't have anything super exciting, but Emily Rose, Exorcism of Emily Rose, I did. There's a sin we have in there where Campbell Scott plays the prosecuting mm-hmm. attorney or whatever. And he brings up a whole thing about when they're talking about in the exorcism that on the tape, she's talking in multiple voices. And he brings up this whole thing about there being the human body has two vocal cords.
Yeah.
So I did some research into that, and it's true, and we wrote a sin about it. It is true, but you never would actually speak in two voices, though.
Is that like, that's how, not what's that type of singing? Today we've talked about this before on other shows. There's a type of singing where you can sing two notes at the same time. I don't know that it uses the two vocal cords or how
I think it does.
Polyphonic.
Yeah, polyphonic singing.
I had to look that up.
I think that is something you do.
I will tell you, and this is for those who can join in live chat or watch later. The links are on Patreon. When the show ends, I'll show you a video of polyphonic singing. It is fascinating.
It really is incredible.
All at the same time.
Yeah, and you can't. That was part of what I read. I did read something on some type of singing, so I'm sure that's what it was. But it was just saying that, like, you wouldn't actually be able to have two, like, conversations, basically. Like, there's no way to do that. However, we did not actually. We wrote it to where we weren't really sending him. We actually turned it back on Laura Linney because she is a terrible attorney, by the way, in this movie. Like, just terrible. Mm-hmm. But the idea that she wouldn't object or wouldn't bring a witness on to say that's not possible, because obviously Campbell Scott's saying it because he wants the jury to hear
right.
that it is possible. So it makes sense that he's bringing it up. But I did find out that, yeah, as far as anyone's knows, there's no way. And then the other thing I looked up, like, there's just like courtroom stuff. I'm always curious about, like, if people are allowed to do certain. Oh, I did want to say one thing about the vocal cords, though. Vocal cords are shorter and thinner in women and children. So that's why they have higher voices. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's why, you know, so men win that battle, at least. That's all I want to point. No, I'm just kidding.
The battle to have a lower voice. My vocal cords are longer than your vocal cords.
Yeah.
Who's like got the massive vocal cords now, buddy?
I just thought it was funny because for some reason that fact is always brought up in like any research, like all like five or six different things I read on vocal cords. It kept just randomly mentioning that. And I'm like, man, dudes totally wrote these articles.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyways, one thing I mentioned was I looked into, because I always think it's interesting in movies that, like, it feels like the court case just happens, like, so quickly. And they even, like, talk about it in the dialogue. Like, you mm-hmm. can tell, like, it's only been a week or two. And so I looked into that. And that's definitely not normally the case. Like, one of the examples I found, they were talking about the average cases in Cook County. I don't know why that was what they were talking about. But the average... like if you're just not even going to trial, if you're just trying to reach a settlement, mm-hmm. The average on that's like 35 months. And then if you're actually going to go to trial, from when the trial would start to when it would end, the average is like 52 months.
Nice.
So I wasn't like shocked. I knew that couldn't be true, but it was still nice to actually, in case somebody tried to come at me.
Right.
And be like, no, they would totally get this up in a couple days. Like, no, they wouldn't. Although it is funny because in the movie, even though... I mean, even though technically they would have all this time, they come up with their defense like literally the night before.
Yeah.
They have to start their case. It's insane. It's insane. You should never hire Laura Linney to be your attorney based on this movie.
Yeah.
Just want to throw that. Or this character. I guess not Laura. Laura Linney might be a great attorney. I have no idea. But yeah.
I really didn't have a lot of stuff. I mean, I did look a little bit into Bear Paws to, you know, make sure they didn't have like easily separatable pinky digits for pinky swearing. I did have to research, as I've already said, what Phil Collins songs are in which movies.
You'll be in my heart.
What I wanted to talk about, I did do research. I didn't really put any of it in because honestly, there are some times when you specifically research something and then you know if you put it in, it will actually result in more people saying it's wrong. As opposed to actually fixing anything. And that was the case with the baseball throws in Invincible and how high they were and how what that baseball would have had to clear as it went around the world. And I did research into, you know, typical average mountain heights and, you know, how high planes usually fly versus about how high off they were of the ground. Of course, I don't think we know exactly where they are. So I don't know what sea level, you know, what the elevation is of the ground where they are. So it was just one of those things where I was like, I'll just say what I believe and basically know to be true in the sin, and we'll just go from there. So
yeah,
I love that we have two writers though, because I thought that was ridiculous too. But like everything I was coming up with was dumb. It was like baseballs wouldn't do that, you know, or something. So, but then Aaron actually did research, and so I was like, thank God. Like, we have something that's usable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it would still work if it was like, this is dumb. Sometimes that still works. I remember reading some, writing the incredibly complex things, trying to like find ways to prove it, and then reading like Chris's sin, and it's just like, this shouldn't work. This should never work. This is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. And it's like, yeah, that's actually better, because it's just, you know.
You never know.
Because it is, like, it's one of those things where it's like, look, if you're going to throw the ball that hard, it's going to break out of orbit. Like, it's going to go into space, not go around the world. Like, you'd have to throw at the perfect speed to have the perfect orbit to exactly come around to where you were. And not to mention the fact that the Earth is rotating, so you're going to have to take into account that and like how
and anything
like,
that it would come in contact with potentially along the way,
right? Yes, it's gonna, you know. So anyhow, I felt it was fine just kind of saying it like it was. But yeah, there you go. The really stupid things we have to actually think about. All right, let's move on to the comment section.
I want to know what you're thinking.
I appreciate your honesty. You're a real straight shooter.
You are the ones who are the ball lickers.
We're each going to pick a comment from the week, whether it's from videos, the internet, elsewhere, like Twitter, Discord, anywhere else that you guys are responding to us. Danae, what did you have?
I went full on into the water planting. Nope. Mm-hmm. Watering of the plants.
There you go.
Plant watering.
Mm-hmm. Water planting
again,
is different.
Just a reminder. Brain's not functioning today on
function,
a major
brain
level.
Not happen.
It's a good thing I didn't slot today as a writing day for me. Words, yes. Bring to surface.
The funniest script ever.
Baseball, dumb.
Oh, shit. Yeah, so there's lots of theories on when to water your plants. There are some plants that should definitely not be watered at night. There are some plants that thrive better in the evening, just depending on the climate. So it does depend on where you are. At the end of researching, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do this anyway, because I think it's going to get a rise out of people. And I did it, because part of my job is to troll you. And so pat on the back for me. Checkpoint Charlie says, why is watering your plants at night a sin? Mason replies, it's not good for them. It can cause issues, which was pretty much the sum of my research as well. Andrew replies and says, more issues than wasting 90% of the water due to evaporation. Comments continue with Pun Kick Jack, who says, watering plants at night is not a sin. Some plants benefit from a lot, but this is a great video. Lincoln adds, watering plants at night is actually better though, isn't it? And Wild Child says, It's not a sin to water plants at night, especially in the drier parts of California. I live in Chino, which is in the outskirts of a driest desert in the world, which is Death Valley or the Mojave Desert. It prevents the hot, drying sun from burning grass and plants as it evaporates, leaving nothing but dead grass and plants. Yes, it's bad because mold can start to grow. It's worse if it's on your vegetables. But with global warming and climate change and weird weather patterns, watering your plants at night is the best way to keep your plants and grass from dying. Just saying, with like a little wave. So wild child for the win there with the explanation, but also people don't agree with you, even though you clearly know what you're talking about. Maybe it's just based on where you are. It's still a sin for someone.
There you go.
And so I was happy to keep that one in, knowing that it was not a fully waterproofed sin. Waterproof. I didn't do that on purpose. Oh God. Oh no.
I went with a comment from the butter video. It's based on the sin that has them spelling out army, but one of them is standing in the middle. So it says Arimi with an I in the middle. The comment is from Sloan, who says, look, if Namjoon says it's Arimi, it's Arimi. We don't make the rules. So I just thought that was really, really funny.
That is good.
Jonathan, what about you?
So mine's from Invincible. So I wrote a sin in Invincible about the guy says, like, are you going on your kid's spring break to England. And then, you know, he says, yeah, all 2 weeks. So I wrote a sin like 2 week spring break. Like, who has that? And Aaron was like, yeah, that's funny. And then Danae's like, I don't know, guys. Like, A, maybe people do have 2 week spring breaks, and or maybe he's only going for 1 week and then they're still going to stay there a week. And Aaron and I were like, no, you're wrong. And
I don't remember happening exactly this way.
No, it wasn't like that, but we were like, no, I mean, he clearly was saying that the spring break was 2 weeks. I think that was one of the things. So once we determined that, and then, you know, Danae said, I don't get you guys or something, and then we moved on. But but then just to make Danae feel really good about herself, we got a comment from Cam Kurosaki that says, haha, my school got 2 weeks for spring break and two for winter. It helped with content retention since they felt 3 weeks was too long for winter break. So apparently people do get two spring break. I don't know how you get 2 weeks for spring and winter. Like, how many weeks are you possibly in school? If, I mean, my God, maybe it's like a year round thing though, where they get breaks, you know, but Danae was right.
I just had this conversation with somebody about how different school schedules are, you know, even, in the same state, you know, sometimes.
Absolutely.
And some states will have rules. Like, I know when I lived in Michigan, in Michigan, schools are not allowed to start before Memorial Day. The other one, Labor Day. They're not allowed to start before Labor Day because in Michigan, tourist season has to take place for the entire summer because, you know, nobody's there in the winter except for the locals. And so for kids' summer jobs, like, they wanted to make sure kids could work all the way through Labor Day. And then the other thing we were talking about is how in Michigan, they also build in a schedule that just assumes 6 or 7 snow days. Whereas, like, where we live now, if you have 3 snow days, like, on the 4th one, you have to make that up at the end of the year. Like, because they're just, you don't usually get snow days
here. They do that here, yeah.
So I just, it's really interesting how people do that differently. Ever since I heard about year-round education, that makes the most sense to me. I don't think we'll ever do it because we're not used to it. And also, I think parents would revolt. You know, to not have summers to be able to do vacations and stuff. But I, you know, it makes a lot of sense to me to do like 3 months on, 1 month off. You know what I mean? And have trimesters or that kind of thing.
We have some schools that operate like that even here. And it isn't, I don't know. Like, I mean, we have the luxury of working from home, right? So like I can kind of, it, whatever my daughter's schedule is, we can make it work. But I know not everybody has that luxury. So I don't know what the right answer is. But it's weird. They get a lot of days off though. Like, I didn't realize like how little... the school year is actually school.
Right.
Until I had a kid that goes, because when you're a kid, you don't, I mean, it seems like you're there forever, right?
And that's before you even get to like field day, you know?
Yeah.
Or field trips or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, for sure.
Totally.
Totally.
All right, let's move on to Beyond the Sins.
To infinity and beyond.
Somewhere beyond my wildest dreams.
To boldly go where no man has gone before.
We're each going to chat about something else from the world of pop culture that we've seen recently. I'll kick us off this time because Lego Masters is back, and I am so happy.
Oh my gosh, I haven't heard that in forever.
Yeah, I heard what?
Lego Masters. Isn't that... Well, let me listen to what you're going to say first, because maybe I'm thinking of something
completely
different.
No, you're good. I think it debuted last year. It's one season, and I loved it so much, and I'm so glad it's back. The second season just debuted this past week as you're listening to this. And the thing I think I love about this the most is so many talent-based reality shows are of like talents that a lot of people think they can do, or there are a lot of people that are kind of good at, but then there are people who like really excel. This is one of those talents I feel like is a real technical skill. Like there's an art to it that like I couldn't do. You know, I can put a couple Legos together, but I can't do with the kind of things that they're doing. And every episode I come away going, how did they do that? And there's like 16 teams doing it. And I find everything about this show awesome. I love Will Arnett as the host. I love the way they do the challenges, I think are really cool. I love the teams of people. They're interesting people. I'm really excited for a second season.
Do they have the same teams for the entire season, or do they do a weekly thing?
It's reality show. In that, like, so for instance, on this show, the bottom two, they have actual Lego expert judges, which is another thing I love when a reality show actually has people who are experts in the thing talk about stuff, and I learn stuff from them. But they choose the bottom two, and then one of them goes home. And then there's also like a thing where if you win the week, you get a golden brick, and you can use that to avoid being in the bottom two any week you feel like maybe you haven't done your best. So yeah, there's lots of interesting stuff like that. It also has drama in like when you're done with your build, you have to wheel it over to the presentation place. And if you like tip it over or something falls off, like you have to have it in place by when the timer is done. And so you have to quick, like try to fix it or make it look presentable, or it's, I love it. I love this show. I have so much fun with it. So yeah, it's called Lego Masters. Cool. If you want to check it out.
Very cool. So.
Yeah. Today, what about you?
I accepted a challenge from a friend of mine to find some games. This person wanted to have casual games they could play while watching TV. So nothing that was too engaging. So not like, think like, I guess Sudoku, but maybe even less important than Sudoku. Because it was an interesting challenge for me because it can't be a puzzle game that requires a lot of attention and time too, because it can't be like where you have to constantly be paying attention to it. So I went through some of the games and I fell back in love with a few of them. And I wanted to tell you guys about a couple of them. One of them is called I Love Hue 2, H-U-E. this is one where you are realigning different colors to put them in their hue pattern. So the gradients of color.
Right.
I love games like this a ton. There's a ton of them out there. This one's just called, again, I Love Hue 2. And I thought that the aesthetics of this one was nice. Aww, and it was kind of a chill vibe.
Thank you.
Thanks. I do love you. Another one, I'll only do two this week, is called Here, just H-E-R-E.
I was gonna say, how's that one spelled?
Just want to make sure you guys know how to spell that one.
There are a couple ways to spell it. So
Yeah. And this one is kind of it's a casual, clever game where you're solving a puzzle, but there's no timer. At least there isn't on any of the levels so far. So it starts off with like a white screen and just the simple letter, the simple word here in the middle of the screen. And so like you tap your thumb where it says here, and then the screen changes to the next puzzle. So you're trying to figure out puzzle to puzzle to puzzle what they're attempting to have you do interacting with the word H-E-R-E here. And it doesn't seem to be timed. So it's something where you can like look at it and then look away with no pressure. So those are the two that I'm going to mention this week. I am using Android. I'm not sure if they're available on Apple devices, but hopefully that there's a couple that are like this because they're super fun.
Nice. Jonathan, what do you got?
I started listening to a podcast a couple weeks ago that I was introduced to. The host was on another podcast I listened to. I think that's typically how I find out other podcasts. Is,
right? Yeah.
But so, and this is a podcast that's been going since 2018. So I could just be late to the game. I don't know. I always feel like, because I never know like what podcasts are really popular. And I'm always worried when I talk about something like this, it's going to be like, I'm like, hey, I just saw this show Breaking Bad. You guys heard about this? but anyways, this is called American Hysteria. Like I said, it debuted in 2018. It is also, it's a solo podcast for the most part. She does have guests occasionally. The host is Chelsea Weber Smith. And I don't typically listen to solo podcasts. I don't have anything against them. I just, for me personally, I like conversation. I just like hearing conversation. So it doesn't always grab my interest. But from the first episode, I went and listened to the first episode because I'm OCD that way. And I have just been pretty much only listening to this podcast for the last couple weeks, trying to catch up. It's even one of those where like I'll purposely go walk at night just so I can listen to it. Like, mm-hmm. I'll be like, I'm gonna go for a walk.
No, you're not wrong. Yeah. I actually, most of my exercise, the thing that puts me over the edge is like, oh, I can listen to podcasts while I bike, or I can listen to podcasts while I play disc golf, or you know, whatever the case may be. So
it's always nice when something compels you to to do that stuff. That's awesome.
So it's really cool. It's about, she talks about, as she puts it, moral panics, conspiracy theories, urban legends, and fantastical thinking that shape our culture. And so she, like, the stuff I've listened to so far, I've listened to stuff like on, she talks about the satanic panic. She talks about the kind of where Stranger Danger came from, trick-or-treating, like the Halloween candy that, you know, if it has, you know, where that kind of urban legend started about people putting razor blades in candy, just stuff like that. I guess the closest thing I would compare it to maybe is lore, but lore really dealt specifically with urban legends. This kind of gets more into different things. I haven't gotten to it yet, but I saw she has an episode. It's like on gay panic and stuff like that. So she really gets into a lot of different things, and it's really fascinating. Like satanic panic, for instance, is something I've read a lot about because I just that happened in my childhood.
Yep,
so I've always just found that super interesting. But she talked about a lot of things I had never even heard before. So she's very engaging. She does a great job. She does a lot of research. I'm actually, you know, I'm learning things. I'm enjoying listening to it. So it's just a lot of fun. But it's called American Hysteria. If those types of subjects, if you find that fascinating, I think you'll really dig this. And most people have probably already heard it, and I'm just the last one. But that's okay.
I'd never heard of it. So I might check that one out.
And pretty short, like most episodes are like 30 to 45 minutes, which is great for like if you're just walking or something, you know, you can listen to a whole episode. So it's really
nice. sounds really interesting. That might actually crack into my list. It's so hard for me to add podcasts because I'm already behind on so many of the ones that I like to listen to. But that sounds good. That's American Hysteria, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes.
I Love Hugh Too and Here are available on Android, on the Google Play Store, and possibly on the Apple Store as well. And Lego Masters you can find on Hulu, as well as check your local listings. Well, that's going to wrap it up for Behind the Scenes this week. Don't forget to make sure you're subscribed. Go ahead and leave a comment or rating as well. If you've got anything you want to send us, you can mail it to us, P.O. Box 881, Republic, Missouri, 65738. You can also hang out with us on Twitter. I'm at Aaron Dicer. She is at Denae Says.
DeneeSays.
And he is at SamLoomis13. So for Jonathan Watkins, Denae Hughes, a random leg chunk, and myself, we will see you next week.
Happy National Iced Tea Day.
Thanks for listening. Send any feedback to bts@cinemasins.com. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and comment. Find more ways to connect by visiting cinemasins.com/BTS.
Excellent, excellent. We are doing so good. Jonathan, we better do some outtakes before Denae gets here, because even though she's late, she's going to reprimand us if we don't record any outtakes before she gets here. So do something funny.
I don't have anything funny.
Maybe you can just make like, do like Denae sing-songy noises. Hey, there you go. There you go. Welcome to the outtakes.
Okay, we are late. people. We are late, but no one is surprised.
Cause you'll be in my heart. Yes, you'll be in my heart. But not in this movie.
Let's see. Did that fix anything? Does it fix anything? Let's just jump in here.
Well, why, Danae?
Oh, man. I've had a series of issues.
Uh-huh. I hear myself.
I know. I'm still working on my... I had to restart my whole computer. My microphone wasn't coming through.
Yeah, wow. You said you had board issues yesterday, right?
Yeah, those are still apparently an issue. Hi, guys.
Hi. Happy Donut Day.
What's a donut day?
I don't know. Today's National Donut Day.
Well, shit. I was out there. I could have gotten one.
I wonder if our local place is doing anything special.
Surely they are. They did have half off Donut Day on their 1-year anniversary. So why wouldn't they celebrate the mighty day of the donut?
I don't know. I don't know.
They do not want to do that. No, I didn't like that. I didn't like that at all.
So are you going to answer, Aaron, are you going to answer to why you cut all of Danae's post-show?
Yeah, what was that about?
Since that was controversy.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Yeah. So you're not wrong. People, I mean, there's a whole, you know, hashtag release the Danae cut on Twitter. I thought that it was one of those things where, like, it was special that it only existed for members. And, like, I listened through it. It wasn't, like, outtake stuff. It was a great conversation.
I listened through it. It was shit.
No, it was great. But it was great for the environment it was in.
Yeah,
it doesn't make for, like, great outtakes. Like,
no. No, I'm okay with it being whatever it is. I think it could be kind of a funny thing. Just to, like, yeah, if you really think it should just be there, that's fine.
I liked all the comments because I think it's hilarious. But, like, what is the end goal of hashtag release the Danae cut? Like, because the people who are posting that hashtag have access to the whole conversation. Like, you know.
It probably was just fun. It was just fun, I think. Fun. I don't think it was serious.
Anytime you can hashtag release something, people are going to do it.
Yeah. So I just want to make sure. Like, I just want to make sure if there's something the fans want that I'm delivering it. But I agree with you. I thought it was just like, oh, this is fun.
Okay,
you know,
let's test this theory. The fans want to do an entire episode where it's just outtakes. Are you okay with that?
Sure, of course.
Whatever. We've talked about this before. You're like, no, that's not the show.
I think that's a great idea. I think that's a great idea for, like, a week that, like, one of us can't be here or something like that.
What if we change the show entirely to just be us goofing off and having a good time and avoiding all list making and all reviewing of everything that we just...
Danae, this is why we're a good balance for each other, okay? You know, why can't we be like, okay, I didn't like Transformers or, you know, whatever it is, but... it still took a lot of effort, and I respect the work it took to make it and the people involved in it. And like, why can't we be grown up enough to go, I didn't like the end product, but man, great work, guys. Like, way to put in, you know, some effort. And you know what I mean? Like, there's this thing, like, if somebody makes something you think is bad, it's like that somehow that means you think everybody who made it is a terrible person. And it's just like, that's just, I don't know. It's hot take culture. Right, Danae?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, you know, like, I mean, I don't like Danae, but I get why people do.
Exactly. Yeah. And we go to great lengths to cover up our mutual hatred of each other, you know, so that anyone listening only hears the professionalism.
I mean,
I've really appreciated that about you guys, you know. I will hit play, but I want to give Jonathan the chance to make the joke he's been trying to make for several weeks. So what I'm going to do, Jonathan, is... I'm gonna say that I'm getting ready to push play, and then I'm gonna give you just a second to go no before I do. All right.
Okay.
So, all right. Okay. Here we go. I'm getting ready to press play.
Wait.
Oh, that was really funny. Oh my gosh.
Oh, that was great. That was so worth it. I hope that makes the outtakes. That will be amazing.
Yeah,
that was amazing. I laughed for a good 15 seconds.
If only you had control over what makes the outtakes.
If only I knew the person in charge of deciding what was in the outtakes. Jonathan has been trying to say, wait, before we start the show. And I always click the start too soon. So I gave him an opportunity to do that this time. And I got to tell you, it slayed me. I thought that was wonderful.
A staged wait.
It was a staged wait.
We should do it again. Actually, hey, all right, we're going to do this again.
We should do it for everybody here. That's right.
This is for everybody.
All right, here's how it goes.
This is dumb.
Okay.
No, Jonathan.
No, this is good. This is good.
This will be great. Jonathan, hey. All right, guys, I'm going to start the show.
Wait.
Seconds. Shit.